And I'm starting a new series here this morning. I believe it's a very important series. It'll be a short series, probably of four messages that we're going to do. And you'll see why it's four messages that I intend to do in this. Matthew chapter 13. And this new series, we've dealt with the series on the church, finished it last week. But I want to start a new series on how to hear the Word of God. The church is filled with teachings on how to have a good marriage, how to have success, how to do 1,000 things, how to evangelize, even, and listen to this, how to hear God's voice. That is all across the church. There are many books written on how you personally can intimately hear God speak to you. How you can hear a voice in your mind or your heart or even in your ear. It's all across the church. I even met a man once who came to our church to teach us how to hear God's voice. And he tried to tell us that God told him every morning what pair of socks to put on. And he said, I don't get out of bed until God tells me. That is foolishness. I tell you, all of that is trash to go in the bin. Here this morning, I want to begin to show you how to hear the Word of God. How to hear the preaching of God's Word. How to sit under the ministry of God's Word. Do you know, during the period of a month, we in this room sit under a lot of teaching, and I hope it's the right teaching and important teaching. But saints, why should we sit in meetings, listen to a preacher, open up the Word of God, if we don't know how to hear? These gatherings are not about good preaching or how I preach. It's all about how you hear. Do you know how to hear me preach this morning? Do you know how to listen to preaching? Do you actually understand how to do that and what Christ commands us to do and what Christ taught us how to do this? Saints, in the coming year, you're going to hear many messages. You'll sit under much teaching. All of that can be lost if you do not know what I'm going to teach you this morning and over the next few weeks. My message this morning, our series is how to hear the Word of God. But my message this morning is the wayside hearer. Let me say that again. The wayside hearer. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, the same day went Jesus out of the house, and he sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship, and he sat, and the whole multitude sat on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And then moving down to verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the Word of God, the truth of God, but we don't only want to be hearers only of the Word of God. We don't want to be those that sit here, enjoy the Word, listen to the Word, get entertained, get our ears tickled, and Lord God, leave. And by tonight, it's as if we'd never heard the Word of God. We don't want to gather listening to entertainment, nor Lord God, listening to a good message and good teaching and great truths, Lord God, as if we're listening to an orchestra or a man or a woman playing an instrument that we enjoy, that we listen to, that we enjoy the sounds and the things that we hear. And Lord God, yet it does not impact the very intents of our heart, the motives of our heart, the words of our mouth, the actions and the deeds of our life, where our feet carry us, what our hands do. Lord God, I'm asking this morning and over the next month, oh God, I'm asking that you teach us how to hear. I'm asking you to help us, Lord God, to become so aware, so careful how we hear the word of God, what we listen to, and to be sure that spiritually we have learnt the action, the lesson, the habit, Lord God, of how we are to receive the word of God into our heart in a life-changing way. Don't let this message this morning be lost. Don't let it, nor God, be trodden down by others outside of this room. Don't let the fowls of the air, the demonic spirits of hell, steal the word of God from any individual in this room. My God, I pray that the hearts would be prepared right now, broken up with conviction and repentance and earnestness and prayers of faith, that we might hear the word of God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. My message this morning in dealing, as we begin to look at how to hear the word of God, or how to sit in a gathering, how to sit under the preaching or teaching of the Bible, how we are to do that. Now, my first message is the wayside hearer. Now, Jesus, we read in Matthew chapter 13 that Christ began to speak in parables. What is a parable? It is actually an earthly, natural, human story or something we see around us, but it has a heavenly meaning. That's what a parable is. It is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's a normal human story, something we see every week, or something we see in our society or culture that the preacher takes to actually use to reveal to you a spiritual heavenly truth that can actually change your life. The word parable in its Greek meaning means to throw something or to place something alongside. So notice here we have something, but a parable is that you throw something down beside it and it actually lies there. Two things lying side by side. One is a natural story, the other is a spiritual truth. And that's what a parable is. A natural story is thrown down beside a spiritual truth. Now, why is that done? It's a natural story, but it's to explain a spiritual truth. It is actually to compare the two. And that's why the both of them are laid together. It is actually to compare the natural with the spiritual. And we all understand the natural. All of you understand natural stories in this room. Every single one of you can understand what Christ taught in this parable. The natural story. But it is actually given here to begin to explain a spiritual, heavenly truth that is going to change your life. And we are to compare the two. It is an illustration placed alongside a biblical truth to help explain it, to make it easy to understand, to make you to listen. Do you know what parables do? They actually draw out the listener. It actually makes you to pay attention when a parable or a natural story. Everybody likes a story. The children like a story. Any of you adults come into CEF or into one of the children meetings or listen to Candace speaking to the children, I assure you every adult in this room will be sitting there gripped like the children will, because we all love a story. We love a parable. We love to be told these things. And very often a story or a parable with a spiritual hidden meaning, it draws out our heart. It makes us to listen and it makes you to think. A parable is given by Christ to begin making you to think. Don't just sit there clapping your hands, saying amen, listening to a story. A parable is to begin to make you to think about your own heart, your own mind, your own life, and how you do everything. That is the purpose of a parable. Also, a parable is memorable. You may forget the truth, but you leave with the parable. And the parable being memorable can actually bring the truth of God back to your mind and heart. Also, a parable is very simple. It is very obvious. It is very basic. It doesn't take any intelligence or education or any profound study to understand a parable. All it takes is the desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we come to Matthew chapter 13, we begin to see where Christ is. He is at this shoreline of a great lake in the north of Galilee. We're actually told that he sat down at the shoreline and he began to teach them the word of God. And then the crowd grew so great, a great multitude began to gather around him, that he actually got on a boat and he went out a distance from the shoreline, and all the people were gathered on the shoreline and he began to teach them. Look at Matthew chapter 13 for a moment. It says, the same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. The same day. Notice what happened just before he gets onto the boat. It actually says here, the same day. In other words, in the previous chapter, something happened. What actually happened? We read about the Pharisees leaving Jerusalem, leaving the city of Jerusalem for hundreds of miles to the south, and they traveled. Now, listen to us, they're religious leaders, they're preachers, they're men in ministry, they're men who know the word of God, and they travel some 200 miles north to where Jesus is. They know he is there. They know he's preaching. They know he's teaching. He's actually ministered for a year and a half. This parable teaching comes in the middle of Christ's ministry, a year and a half into it. And you know what? These Pharisees are coming saying, you're Beelzebub. You're of the devil. Your teaching is demonic. We believe that you're the prince of demon powers. You're a false prophet. You're a false teacher. We don't believe that you're sent from God. We don't agree with your teachings as you give them. This is what has just happened. Notice another thing that just happened where Jesus was. He's in a packed house. He's in a house where it is so full nobody can get in the door. Nobody could climb in a window. And as Christ teaches, it is suffocating in there. It must have felt like being in India, the suffocation of that room. And yet people are gripped by the word of God. They actually want the word of God. Thank God for house meetings. Thank God when you find small churches where people say, man, I'm so hungry for God. Man, I want to preach in the word. Man, I'm here so eager. Nothing's going to get me out of this room. No, I tell you, I am locked into the preaching of God's word because I know it will change my life. Do you know what happened in the midst of this meeting? There come a knock on the door and a few people at the back of the room said, Master, you're teaching, but your mommy is here, your mother is here, and your brothers are here. They're arrived and they're standing outside the door. Now, you know, all across the city of Limerick, if Mary turned up at the door, I tell you, we'd have a riot in the building to go out to see Mary at the door. They'd leave poor Christ standing at the front of the gathering. Christ is teaching the word, but they would all leave the house to go and to see Mary, the mother of Jesus. Do you know what happened in this situation? That never happened. Not a soul moved. They said, Master, your mother is out there and your brothers are out there. How's Christ? Is Christ going to go, Hail Mary? Is that what he's going to say? Do you know what he actually said? He said, Who is my mother? Now think about it. She's standing at the door outside of the packed house. He said, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren or my brothers? He said, it's those who hear the word of God, and it's those who do the will of God. In other words, Mary means nothing, but If you do the will of God and the word of God, that is everything. Mary was going to have to obey the word of God like everybody else. He's in a room. He didn't go out to see her or to see his brothers. He said, you know what? If you do the will of God and you're sitting here in this church and listening to the word of God, that is everything and that is what I look at. I'm not going outside to see my mummy, I can assure you. Mary's no special woman, no more than anyone else. She bore me, she birthed me, she carried me. But you know what? You are my mother. If you do the will of God. Saints, we need to change an awful lot of things in the Church of Jesus. But look at this, it said on the same day that all of that happened, he went out of that house and he sat by the seaside and a great multitude were gathered together unto him. Notice it goes from a small house meeting to a large crowd on the beach. And the crowd start to gather. Must have been some Irish there. The church meeting gathered as he taught. And this crowd began to gather and enlarge. And it got so large, he said, I'm going to have to get in a boat and go out from the shoreline. And this is when he began to teach parables. Now notice this is Matthew chapter 13. In this one chapter, Jesus teaches seven parables in one chapter. He's never taught parables before. This is the beginning of his ministry. On this particular day, he began to teach in parables. Why? All of his enemies are coming knocking at that door. They want to kill him. They hate him. They're calling him a demon and a devil. So Christ begins to teach in parables. We see from verse 53 in this chapter that all of these parables, seven parables, all happened on the same occasion. When he finishes them, then he leaves. It's all at one time that he ministers these seven parables. Four of them were public to the great crowd, but three of them were private to his 12 disciples. Now notice with me the parable he begins with. It says in Mark chapter 4 and verse 13, if you understand this parable, you understand them all. Amen. Do you know there's 39 separate parables in Matthew, Mark and Luke? There's actually 20 parables in Matthew, 9 in Mark and 27 in Luke. When you bring all these parables together, you find there's 39 different parables. And these parables are ministered by Christ and taught by Christ. Notice that Christ didn't only teach in parables or stories. We've got preachers today that say, only tell parables. If you're going to be a successful preacher, you need to be able to tell a good story. You ought to be able to bring a parable out. Can I tell you, that is not true. Christ had taught for a year and a half. Do you remember Christ teaching in Matthew chapter 5 to 7, three chapters? That is him on the Sermon on the Mount, and he didn't use one parable. Three chapters of teaching, not one parable. This is how he taught through most of his ministry. Or what about the last day of his ministry? In John chapter 13 at the Lord's table, from chapter 13 to chapter 16, those three chapters, he's taught teaching and he doesn't give one parable. Now saints, parables are good, but they're given with a purpose. And don't think that all teaching and ministry has to be parables. It's not. It's not. It's just one aspect, and it is with a reason. It draws out your attention, keeps your attention. Don't we need that at times in our church gatherings? Just look this way. Listen to me carefully. All through the parable that we're going to deal with here, we actually hear Christ saying, now listen to me. Make sure you're listening. Since when I say, now listen to me carefully, it's a very biblical thing. You know why? You get distracted even in a gathering like this. I'm dealing with your eternity. I'm telling you how to do something that can change your entire life. Now we come to this first parable. If you understand this, you will understand all 39 parables. If you don't understand this parable, you'll never understand the others. There are certain truths in this parable that reveal to you the entire kingdom of God. And if you can lay this into your life and heart, you'll understand so much in Christ's teaching. We deal with this first parable. And what is it about? It's about a sower, a seed, and the soil. That's what the first parable is about. The sower, the seed, and the soil. Or let me go a bit deeper, because it's not really about the sower or the seed. It's really about the soil. But you do have a sower, and you do have seed, and you do have the soil. Saints, let me begin to show you what Christ was saying here. It's not a teaching on the sower. It said a man went forth, a sower, and he was sowing seed. Do you know what he had? He's going forth in a field. And on his side he has a big bag filled with seed. And he kept reaching his hand in and he would grab a whole bunch of seed. And he scattered it as he walked. He just kept scattering it everywhere. He wasn't going along putting little individual seeds in little tiny holes. He was pulling out the seed and he was scattering it everywhere. He was making sure that every single bit of ground got an opportunity. He was making sure he didn't miss one bit of ground. No matter what the ground looked like, no matter the condition of the soil, look at the sower. He says, I must scatter the seed. I must cover all the ground, good, bad, and ugly. Whether it's good ground or bad ground, I'm going to scatter my seed there. That's my responsibility. You see, who is the sower? First of all, the sower is Christ. But also the sower is every preacher. I am a sower here this morning. That's what I've been doing in Limerick. I've been scattering the seed. That's what I am. I'm a farmer. You know, when Candace married me, there was a time in her life she always wanted to marry a farmer. Well, her mother said to her, you married a farmer now. Why? Because a preacher is a farmer. He's a sower of seed. He deals with ground. He deals with things that grow. So she not only married a preacher, she married a farmer, a sower of precious seed. Saints, we see here that the sower is going scattering the seed. What is the seed? The seed is the word of God. That's what the Bible tells us. But can I tell you, this is not a parable about the sower. That's why he remains nameless. We don't read much about him apart from scattering the seed. It is not a parable about the sower. Neither is it a parable about the seed. The seed gets scattered. It is the word of God, the truth of the gospel. It is getting scattered upon the soil. Since this is a parable about the soil, Christ wants you to see the issue here, the emphasis of hearing God's word isn't about the preacher. It's not about the sower. Neither is it an issue of the seed. Hearing God's word has everything to do with the condition of the soil. You hear God's word through having the right condition in the soil. The condition of the soil affects what the seed produces. It's the same basic soil on all ground, but its condition and circumstances are different. In this parable, we have four kinds of soil. Four different responses to the preaching of the word of God. Four different kinds of hearers who sit in meetings and listen to preaching. It was the same in Christ's day. It's the same today. We're dealing in this parable with four different kinds of heart. And depending on that heart, or the sort of listener you are, will affect how the word of God affects you. Wasn't Christ the best preacher? Wasn't the word of God that he preached the very best quality of seed? There was nothing wrong with the seed. There was nothing wrong with the sower or the preacher or the teacher. Look at it. As Christ went forth scattering the teaching, scattering the word of God, he got four different responses every time he taught. And that's what he's saying here. Every time the Word of God is preached, you get four different potential kinds of responses. Why do people react differently? Why is it in a meeting one person gets changed and the other remains the same? Why is that? We're actually given the answer in this. It is the issue of your heart. How you come to a meeting. How you sit under the preaching. It's the condition of your heart over the previous days, weeks, months, and even years. It's your heart that is going to decide how the Word of God impacts you, changes you, or what fruit comes out of that. I want to teach you how to listen to God's Word, how to prepare your heart, how to make yourself ready to receive the seed in a way that will make you a fruitful Christian here in these messages. Notice with me, they received that receiving the seed depends on the condition of the soil. The listener's response to God's Word will divide and separate everybody into four different categories. Here this morning, you are one of these four people. You're one of the four. You cannot. There is no other category. Three of them are failures. Three of them are bad. Only one of them is good ground and bears fruit. And we need to learn lessons from this. To have a good Christian life or to have your life changed does not depend on good preaching. But it does depend on good listening. Do you know how to listen to preaching? Have you learned the art of hearing good preaching? Most people in churches say, he's a good preacher. He's not a good preacher. He preaches too long. He preaches too short. He's too loud. He's too quiet. I've never been accused of that. But they always make all manners of statements. Those who come to meetings sit in judgment of the Word of God, the seed, or they sit in judgment of the sower, the preacher. What they do not realize is that in every single meeting, God is sitting in judgment of the soil of their heart. That is what is happening. You cannot sit under a true preacher or a true preaching without the soil of your heart being tested. Here this morning, as I preach, God is testing your heart. He is searching your heart, and the soil of your heart is being revealed. What sort of heart do you have this morning? What is the condition of the soil? And saints, if it's not good, there's a remedy, and I can help you with that. I'm going to help you with that here this morning. In these four messages, I want to show to you three things, that these four different types of ground actually typify four different responses by sinners, unsaved people to the gospel. When the gospel is preached to sinners, you get four different responses. Three of them are bad, one of them is good. But saints, let me take it a step further for those who are saved. These four grounds typify every single Christian, real Christian, and there are four different responses to the Word of God. But then thirdly, these four grounds typify all of us. You know, sometimes our heart isn't good. Our heart isn't receptive to the Word of God. Other times it is. And you need to begin to learn how this works in your life. Why do you in your Christian walk have low times where not much happens? The Word of God doesn't affect you. And then there's other times little messages set you on fire. You're the same person. You think you have the same heart. You're sitting in the same church in the same messages. Why is it sometimes it really impacts you and at other times you walk out as if you've been watching a movie, utterly unaffected? Saints, I want to really help you. First of all, we're dealing with the wayside hearer. In chapter 13 and verse 4 we have it. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. This first person who heard Christ and has come into this church and gone out of this church before is called a wayside hearer. What does Christ say here? Notice that the wayside, the word wayside, is talking about a pathway. That's what a wayside is. It is a narrow pathway that divides field from field, or it can be a long pathway that goes down the middle of a field. Notice that the either side of this pathway, it used to be the same as the entire field. It used to be like all the other soil. But it's actually that pathway, that piece of ground, has actually become different than the other soil. It is a short or long, narrow road. Often, sometimes at the side of these fields, it's a roadway, a pathway, or a walkway where many people walk. If you go there, you'll see people walk up and down. They don't walk everywhere in the field. But on this bit of ground, you actually have people walking up and down. They use this for walking. This is a pathway for walking on. They know that this pathway, this type of ground, you walk on it. You don't consider what you're doing on it. People just walk up, walk down again freely without thinking. It has a lot of traffic. Think about it. I'm talking about a certain person who comes to hear the word of God. This heart, this soil, it's a heart. This person has a lot of traffic walking up and down over the soil of their heart over a long period of time. As they walk on it, it becomes compacted. It is hard and it is very smooth. It is actually as hard as concrete. It has never been broken up. It has not seen a plow. You know the plow, you plow a field to break up the ground to make it ready for the seed. That's why you plow ground. You've got to turn over the ground to make it ready, or you can sow all the seed you want. It'll have no effect. Yeah. Notice here, this type of person does not know what plowing is. They go to church to hear preaching. They even enjoy the preaching, but they have never plowed up their heart. Their heart is like concrete. It's smooth. It's flat. It has been flattened. Who's it been flattened by? Many people walking over the top of it. And the seed, when it does drop, it bounces. I tell you, it bounces off the person. I've heard or seen a lot of messages bounce off the heads of a lot of people who said, I know God and I come to church. I want to be saved. Ping. Yeah. I've seen a lot of Christians who say, I love God. I'm a Christian. I'm serving God. And as they sit under the word of God, you hear the ping. Yeah. Only preachers hear this. Nobody else in the church hears it. But I assure you, as a preacher, as I sow the seed, I can hear the ping of it bouncing off the concrete ground. I can actually tell that that pathway, that ground, has been walked over for so long, so often, so frequently, that so little care has been taken of it, that it is so hard that God's word can sit on it, can bounce off it, can hit it. But it actually cannot get inside that ground. It is hard. It is utterly resistant to God's word. And yet these people keep coming back to hear God's word. But do you know what? That traffic, the thoughts of their mind, their understanding, their feelings, their attitudes, all of that is the traffic that's going on to harden that road. They've had so much traffic, so many ideas, that has become a path. Let me give you 4 points here concerning the wayside hearer. The first thing I want you to notice about him is the condition of the heart of a wayside hearer. How do you know you are such a person, or how do you recognize them? First of all, notice this, the condition of their heart. There's no preparation whatsoever. They rely on the atmosphere of a meeting. Yeah. They rely on the preacher. They rely on good teaching. They rely on getting stirred, excited, or feeling something in a church, but there is no personal preparation outside of the church gathering, outside of a preacher's message. They make no personal, private, inward preparation of their heart. They do not break up the heart. How do you break up the ground of your heart? It's through deep conviction. Rending your heart. It's through brokenness over your own spiritual condition. It's through self-examination where you go to the ground and you begin examining. Why is it the seed of God's word never penetrates my heart? Why is it that I never change? Why do I not get saved? It could be the condition of your heart. You sit here, you pray, you desire that God saves you, but the word of God, though it hits you, though you feel it, though you experience the preaching of the word, it never actually enters into your heart. It has no effect. Do you know why? You have not prepared your heart. Paul wouldn't change your life. I mean, Paul the apostle. Neither if Jesus was here, you would remain the same. We think, oh, if Christ was here, John the Baptist or Elijah, or maybe Peter the apostle, if they were preaching here, my life would be radically changed. I want to tell you, it doesn't work like that. It's not about the preacher. It's not even the message. Because every preacher's different in style. It has got everything to do with your heart. Do you prepare your heart? Is it broken open, ready to receive the seed of God's word? Notice the condition of this person's heart. They are not ready to receive the word. The word of God doesn't affect them. It does them no good. It does them no benefit. You could spend all your time in a preaching atmosphere. You could have an experience of listening closely to the word of God, but it has no effect in your life. Why is that? You don't prepare your heart. You actually expect the preacher to do everything, or that him scattering seed will change your life. That does not work. The ground has to open up to receive the word. It says in Matthew 13 and 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Notice what this person is. He does hear the word of God. He listens to the word of God. He may say, I enjoy the word of God. I love it. I know it's important. I know I need it. I long for it to change me. I'm going to be regular in meetings. I'll listen to it online through audio messages or anything else. I really do appreciate the word. But after having listened to the word of God, they do not understand it. And this word understand actually means to put all the facts together. Everything that you hear, the messages you hear, the truths you hear. If you don't understand it, it means you don't put it all together. Look at all the facts. Look at all these things being preached. You don't put it together in its right place like a jigsaw puzzle. You begin to make a jigsaw. You go, that bit goes there. And that bit goes there. And that's why sin is in my life. And that's why I'm not praying. And that's why I'm not reading the Bible. And I need to bring this piece over. I'm beginning to see how I can walk with God. I'm beginning to see how I can be born again. I'm beginning to see how my life can change. Or something wrong in my life can be broken for the first time. I'm beginning to understand. I'm beginning to see I must repent before God or put faith in the blood of the Lamb. Notice with this wayside here, he does not understand. He enjoys sitting under the word. He enjoys the experience. But after he goes away, he understands nothing in a way that changes him. This person and the condition of their heart, they hear the word, but they do not understand it. They do not comprehend it. It does not impact them. It does not really carry weight with them. It does discern the message. It does as they sit there. They go, I feel convicted. This seems so serious. It even worries me or scares me. But after they leave the gathering, there's no weight with it. They do not carry it home. It's not in their heart. It's bounced off the hard ground of their heart. It carries no meaning for them. They do not personally apply it to their own life, their own attitudes, their own actions, their own motives, their own words. They never apply the word of God to themselves in a way that changes them. They have heard the parable, the story. Now notice this with me. When Christ told the parables, he told it publicly, four parables. Then a little bit later, the 12 disciples come unto him and said, Master, will you explain the parables? Notice the multitudes, the thousands heard the story and went away talking about the story. They never got the spiritual meaning. Do you realize thousands listened to Christ and never understood it? They enjoyed it. They said, Christ healed my body. Christ cast demons out of me. They were storytellers, but they never carried spiritual truth home with them. They hear stories, but the message of the gospel is not life-changing. Neither does it bear fruit in their life or impact their life. The truth cannot penetrate this hard ground. Since these people are not always evil or wicked, they're not always selling drugs or doing crime. Yes. There's mostly many religious people who say, I believe all this. They are stony or they are wayside hearers. They have become so hardened. This is the condition of their heart. They're so hardened that the seed cannot germinate. It bounces off them or it sits upon them or they seem to have it in their heart. But the seed, because of the condition of their heart, there's no condition for the seed to germinate in their life. There's no roots, there's no sprouts. The right condition is not there. That seed can sit there forever. It'll have no effect. They can have it in their brain. They could tell you about some of the parables, but they don't understand what it means in their life. It never changes their life. Saints, there's a great danger of being hearers only and not doers of the word of God. They do not mix truth with faith. They rely on the preacher. Listen to what it says in Ezekiel 33:31. It says that there are many in Israel who actually said, come, let's go hear the prophet Ezekiel. Let's go down and hear him preach a sermon. Listen to their attitude. You would say these people must have been godly people. It says, and they came, and they come unto thee. That is Ezekiel. As the people cometh. And they sit before thee as my people. God is speaking to Ezekiel. He says, I'm warning you. You've got a bad congregation. You've got a bad crowd. And you know what? For the rest of your ministry, this is how you're going to have to preach. And they'll never really take you serious. Can you imagine being a preacher being told that I want you to preach a limerick. Most of them aren't going to listen to you. God said that to Ezekiel, and he said, but if you don't preach, I'll confound you, and I'll confuse you, and I'll fight against you, Ezekiel. So you've got a choice, either preach that bunch, or I'll be against you. Take your choice. Well, this man of God, look at Ezekiel 33. It says, God is speaking to Ezekiel, and he says, they not only come unto you as God's prophets, and let's go hear the prophet, they sit before you. As my people, they say, we are God's people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art like unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come to pass, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Notice this wayside here. They're a pathway, being hardened down. Look at this hard pathway. No preparation, no breaking up, no real repentance, no changed life, no deep grievance over their failures or their sins. They want to quickly move on and not talk about past failure. That you'll never grow in the things of God. You'll be like these people who came to hear Ezekiel. Let's go hear Ezekiel the prophet preach. He's a man of God. He's a great preacher. But you come, you do not want to change. You do not want to forsake your sin. You don't want repentance to change you. How dangerous. These people are stiff-necked. They harden their neck, and yet they keep coming to hear the word of God. They're devoted to church. They're devoted to hearing sermons. They're devoted to good preaching. They hate heresy. They hate bad preaching. They hate just people who tell fables. They say, give us the word of God. Give us a prophecy from God. But yet they're stiff-necked. They refuse to let the word of God change them. You remember when Stephen in Jerusalem, in that religious city, and he stood and preached. In Acts chapter 7, he said, ye stiff-necked. Imagine a preacher saying that. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears. You can't hear me. There's something in the way that needs cut away, but you won't do it. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. Yeah. What did they do? Did they repent? No, they rose up and stoned him. This is the great danger of a real preacher. When he preaches, there's certain hearts who hear him, who say, we love God, we love the word of God, we desire the house of God. I want you to tell me the truth. I've had it 1,000 times. In this room, I've had guys tell me, I want you to speak the truth to me. I want you to tell me. I'll receive it. They're not here this morning. They're utterly offended with me. And yet they told me 1,000 times, I know you preach truth. I know you love me. I know it's real in here. I know this is what I want. Well, they got offended, slammed the door, tore people out. They're no different than this. Their heart is revealed. You see, the danger of preaching truth is the wrong kind of heart. When you deal with a stiff-necked person, they think you're the enemy. You, the preacher, leave me alone. I felt good until you dealt with me. I thought I was a lovely Christian. And you're pulling back the cover and exposing a covetous spirit. You're revealing lies and deception and inconsistency. Let's close it again. No, let's keep it open. I can help you. That's the first thing, the condition of their heart. Secondly, notice this. It says it was trodden down, the seed. Not only is it a hardened path, they don't understand what's going on in the preaching. But secondly, trodden down. It says in Luke chapter 8, verse 5, speaking about the same parable, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. Notice secondly here on this pathway, some seed fell on the ground. It sat on the ground. The seed of God's word was actually there. Here are people with hard hearts who don't understand it, and the word of God is there for them. They don't realize this word can change them and deliver them and can help them. And here they are sitting with the word of God. You better be careful what you do with the word of God. The second thing, it gets trodden down. Here comes someone. They leave the church meeting. And it gets trodden under. Remember what the ground is. It's their heart. This is their heart. The seed is on their heart. And somebody comes walking down the pathway again. And stamps on the seed. The ground is trodden down. The seed is trodden down. Notice here with me this person. Their original problem was their heart. And the original problem was everybody used that as a pathway. Notice the sower was a man, wasn't he? Here comes other men, other people. And they're walking. They're actually walking. Here comes the sower sowing good seed. You don't receive that. But here come other people. And they're walking on the pathway. They don't care about the seed. They are stamping on the seed. They are destroying the seed of God's word that could change your life. Notice here, this is what always happened in their life. Everybody who come, they listen to them. Their family, their friends, those they grew up with, those in their school, a father, a mother, a wife, a husband, a child, affects them. That's who comes walking in this path. You've always allowed that in your life. And when God's word comes on to you, now you let it happen again. Here comes someone, you've left church. Here comes a family member or an old friend or a drinking buddy or some girlfriend. And you know what? That person is going to trample over God's word that could change your life. You haven't changed anything. Now you're coming to church. Now you're listening to preaching. But you associate with the same people. You fellowship with them. They're telling you, "Shirt, stupid. Why are you going to that church? Man, born again, what do you mean? I want to stay a Catholic. Hey, I don't believe in anything. Hey, there's nothing wrong with a wee social drink. With one beer, sure, there's nothing wrong with that. A glass of wine, there's nothing wrong with that." I'm going to tell you, someone is trampling down your footpath, but it's your heart. It's actually this constant traffic. Saints, everything you hear on a Sunday could be destroyed by Wednesday, depending on who you listen to. Other people spreading their ideas, their opinions, their doctrines. It could come through some Christian channel. T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer. They're all trash. Throw it in the bin. I warn you. I know what I'm talking about. Joyce Meyer preaches a psychological gospel. It sounds so logical. But it is not the word of God. She stands there in her pulpit mocking her husband. No woman of God would ever do that publicly. She's done it. I've hardly watched her and I've seen her do it every single time. I go on to watch a wee snippet. She's making some funny comment about her husband again. There's something wrong with that. Saints, false teachers can destroy God's word in your heart. Everything that I've taught to you, all the good seed could be destroyed because you're listening to the wrong voices. Be very careful who you listen to, or it could be a family member. Why are you going to that church? What do you mean born again? You start to become embarrassed, ashamed, and they destroy the seed that you picked up on Sunday or on Wednesday night. Saints, be very careful what people do to it. It says in Hebrews 10:29, it talks about those who have trodden underfoot the Son of God. There are people in this city, they'll trample underfoot Jesus himself. That's who you're dealing with. Be very careful who comes walking across your heart, the soil of your heart. Do you know what? It'll keep it so hard. They'll destroy the effect of the seed. And you go, why does nothing happen in my life? I'm listening to preaching. I go online. I listen to sermons. I go to every church and convention. Why is it no different? It's the people you're allowing to walk all over your heart. Their opinions, their ideas, their teachings. It's the stuff that you read. All of that is destroying the power of God's word. Those who actually trample on this pathway, who walk down it, they don't even see the seed of God's word. They don't care about your soul. They don't care about your eternity. They don't care about God. They don't care about the truth of God's word. These people who trample on God's word, they consider it worthless what's been preached in this church. They consider it not important. They laugh at it, they mock it, they ridicule it, they taunt you. They try to explain it away. Sure, that cannot be so. God's a God of love, he'll forgive everyone. You've got to go to Mass. Sure, you can believe in God, but live your own sinful life. Your seeds have just got trodden down. Thirdly, the fowls of the air. I'm speaking about one type of person who comes to church to hear the word of God. Look at the ground. They don't understand. It's getting trodden down. But thirdly, the fowls of the air. In Matthew, we read this. It says in Matthew, the fowls came and devoured up the seed. How does he interpret that? He said, what are these birds? Now look at it. There are seeds still left in the pathway. If the guy trudging down the pathway didn't kick the seed off the pathway or destroy it or take it with them, I tell you, there's another danger here. The fowls of the air. Birds swoop in. You ever see birds steal seed from the field? If you have a bare place in your lawn, just put a load of seed out there. New grass seed. And you watch within 10 minutes. Walk inside, watch out the window. You'll see all the birds come to steal that seed. That's what birds do. They come to steal a seed. You leave it above ground, the birds will steal it. Notice with this person, they haven't taken the word of God into their heart. It just sits there. They leave church going, oh yes, I'm leaving with a message. Thanks, preacher. Thanks, preacher, for the word. And they walk out, but it's sitting on top. They've taken no precaution. They're not aware of the dangers. They think they're playing Sunday school. Yeah. And actually, as they walk out, the birds swoop down to steal the seed. How does Jesus interpret this? He says, the birds, the fowls of the air, are the wicked one who catches away that which was sown in the heart. Christ wants to sow the seed of God's word into your heart. The devil waits at the door and he says, thank you very much. You didn't even bother burying it. You didn't even receive that into your heart. You come walking out with the word of God in your hand. Thank you very much. I'll take that. Notice it says here, after the word is scattered, after the preaching of the word, after you've heard messages and sermons, the devil is waiting like a bird to steal everything that you've heard that could change your life. He'll leave you with a parable, but he wants to steal the truth. In Mark it says, when they had heard the preaching, Satan cometh immediately. Saints, today with this message, you won't even get to the door without Satan coming. Do you realize you are going to meet the devil today over this message and over the next 3 weeks? The devil is going to try and steal these messages. You know why? This seed of his word can change your life. The gospel can radically change your home. It can change everything, your mind, your heart, your attitude, your actions, your words, your relationships. But the devil immediately comes to steal it. You will have to face the devil over this message. God is here in this gathering. He's given you the word of God. And he taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. In Luke it says, lest they should believe and be saved. Have you ever been in a meeting, you got really convicted, really touched? You know God is here. Man, I feel like my whole life's going to be touched. And within a day or within a week, it's all over. It's gone. You go, where did that go to? I want to tell you, the devil came to steal it from you. At times you've been here under conviction. You felt the Spirit of God working. You go, I think I'm about to get saved. You wake up in the morning, it's gone. It's actually, you've let the fowls of the air steal the word of God. Notice what the devil does, what Satan does. He cometh. He cometh immediately. You know why? God's word's dangerous. Yes. God's word can change your life this morning. And the devil goes, that word is dangerous. Even if your heart is hard. Even if you don't understand. Even if the seed is sitting on the ground. It's so dangerous, I've got to steal a seed. The devil cometh immediately. He taketh it. He catcheth it. He devoureth it. In other words, he's destroying the word. He's saying, I've got to destroy all truth from their life and they'll remain hard-hearted. They won't change. He steals it. He makes you forget it. He makes you turn against it. He makes you think many thoughts. Maybe that isn't true after all. Maybe it's not for me. The devil is very active in real churches. He's more active at the door of this church than any Catholic church in the city. You know why? They're already deceived. If you go to a Catholic mass, you're deceived. He's got you hook, line and sinker. But come to a real gospel preaching church. That's why there's so much activity around this church. That's why you'll never die of boredom in this church. I tell you, we are at war. There's always something happening here. We never look the same. I tell you, month to month, every 6 months, you'd think we've gone through about 20 different churches. Why? There is an activity here. God is here, but so is the devil. The devil knows where to come to. He knows what preaching endangers him. He knows what preaching can save you and change your entire life. It says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Do you realize everybody who doesn't believe has been blinded by Satan, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine onto them. Amen. So you have your own heart to deal with. Those who tread down the seed that has been given to you. And you have to face the fowl of the air who come to steal the seed. The demonic realm. The devil knows you're in here this morning. Can I warn you of that? But fourthly and lastly, let me deal with the cure. This wayside hearer, what's the cure for this? What's the answer for this? Can he get out of this? Is there an answer? Yes. Let me give you three simple things as I close. The cure. Here is the cure. To come and to hear the word of God preached in a way that will change your life. This is how you listen to preaching. This is how you come to receive the word of God. Let me give you these three things. You don't rebuke the devil. That won't do you any good. You don't try to psychologically change the thoughts of your mind. That's not the answer to this person. Let me give you three simple answers in the context. First of all, let me give you the answer for that heart that doesn't understand. Doesn't understand. It's hard ground. Do you want me to give you the answer for a hard heart where the word of God bounces off you and you never change? It's compact ground. The word of God never seems to get inside you or to bear fruit inside you. And here I'm talking to sinners as well as Christians. You never grow, you never change, you never move on. You sit in all of these messages, you've heard so much and you enjoy it and you do believe it, but it has no effect in your life. What's the first thing? The first thing, break up the fallow ground. Jeremiah and Hosea the prophet, they commanded this. Break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground is unplowed ground. In other words, you're going to have to plow the ground of your heart if the preaching is going to change you. Do you want preaching to impact you? Do you want to sit under powerful preaching? Then prepare the ground of your heart. Break up the ground. If it's hard, don't come here and leave me. That's why I near take a heart attack preaching at times. That's why when I'm here I go, man, one of these days I'm going to go straight into eternity from this pulpit. Do you know what it's like to dig a trench? Do you know what it's like to dig a hole? I showed Candace a picture of me, 16 years old. I'm up to my shoulder in a trench. I've got a pick elf over in my hand. I'll show you it someday. I have just dug a trench about 6 foot long, 5 foot four deep. That takes an awful lot of work. Saints, I cannot plow up all of your ground. That is not the responsibility of the preacher. You are to plow up the ground of your heart. You are to seek God with holy conviction. You're to rend your heart. You're to come in brokenness. You're to come self-examining. You're to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You're to repent to your sin. You ought to be coming into preaching saying, oh God, change me. Oh God, I don't want to stay the same. Oh God, I'm not going to excuse my sin. My God, I need something changed. My God, I need God to speak to me this morning. Saints, that is the first answer to the changing of this type of person. Your ground is broken up. Secondly, here's the second cure to those people trudging over your heart. Making the ground hard. Don't let people tramp over the soil of your heart. Don't let them destroy the seed of God's word. Separate yourself. This Bible says, even if a man calls himself a Christian, and he's really born again, but he doesn't go to God's house, and he doesn't act right, have none to do with him. If he's always causing division, always making comments about other Christians, don't have anything to do with him. Get out of there. And since I believe in warning you about things that are wrong, But I'm not here bickering and fighting and accusing over stupid things. I warn you over what there's evidence for.
Right.
Don't let people tramp over your heart. Shut down conversations where they're saying, you don't need to be like that. Say, well, this conversation just stopped right now, this second. Be careful who you Facebook with. Be careful who you accept on Facebook. Sure, some of you've accepted, you want to hit the 2,500 mark. Most of those people you've never met, you never will meet in your entire lifetime. Half of them are scoundrels, and another half have every sort of idea that you can imagine. Be very careful. Don't let people trample over the soil of your heart, or you'll find you cannot receive the truth of God's word. You are going to be in that condition. You'll come in here and go, why doesn't this affect me? Why doesn't it get into my heart? It's because of what you've been doing all week. It's your associations, the book you read, what you listen to, who you're talking with, who your friends are. Your conversations, it's actually destroying God's word. Stop it. It's very simple.
Amen.
Break up the ground. Draw a halt on who's walking over the soil of your heart. Thirdly and lastly, don't let Satan steal God's word from your heart. The devil stands at the door, ready to steal it. Most people are ignorant of this. They don't realize there's an invisible realm. Invisible creatures who've been round trying to tempt man for 6,000 years. They don't realize there's demonic beings that you can't feel, you don't see, and they don't speak audibly. They use other people. They influence, or they drop thoughts in your mind. Do you realize you're dealing with a spiritual warfare, and the devil's one aim is to steal God's word from you? The seed, the truth of God's word that could change your whole life. Can I assure you the only way to stop the devil doing that is to actually receive the word of God into a broken up heart. If you receive the word of God into your life, he cannot steal it. Just receive it into your life. And I finish with Matthew 13:9. Jesus said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Amen.
He who has ears? Everybody's got ears. Very few really hear because their heart's not right. The soil of the ground has never been prepared. I exhort you, and we're going to look at this in the next 3 coming weeks. How do we hear God's word? How can it impact us? How can it change our entire life? And how can we get more fruit in this church? Let's pray together.